All right, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be with you this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll be reading in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. If you have the church Bible, it is page 1875. So Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man, this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us instruction and teaching. We thank you that your Spirit is alive and at work and works in our hearts to cause us to desire to obey you. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us as we hear from your word this morning that you would open our ears to hear you, to hear your word, that you would incline our hearts to your word and to obedience. Father, I pray for myself that you would open my lips to speak only what is true about you from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we live in a culture of instant gratification. We have streaming TV services like Netflix where you don't have to wait or go to a movie store, but it's there, right now on your computer. We have microwavable meals, so you don't have to take hours to cook your meal, but you can put it in and 2 minutes later it's ready to go. We have drive-thrus for our food, so instead of having to sit down in the restaurant and wait for them to make it, it's ready in 2 or 3 minutes. We text each other or call each other and we expect instant responses instead of sending a letter in the mail and waiting for a week to hear something in return. Our culture runs off of and feeds off of immediacy. And I think we can safely say that patience is not a celebrated virtue in our day and age. Patience is old-fashioned to us. The way of the future is instant gratification. What we may not always realize is that this attitude is in opposition to the way that we see faith presented to us in Scripture. Patience and faith in the Bible is enduring, expectant, patient trust. That is how we could define faith. And patience is hard for us in our society to learn to live with. But before we throw it out and call it old-fashioned, we need to recognize that patience and patient trust in God is not optional. It is a necessary ingredient of any faith that will endure till the end. So as we approach our passage here, I want you to remember the context that we have as we look at Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, we are, as you are going through this passage this summer, we're in the middle of a chapter which is full of examples, full of models of faith. And the purpose of all of these examples, we really see at the end of chapter 10, the beginning of chapter 12, the bookends of this passage. The purpose of all of these examples is to encourage God's people not to shrink back in the face of suffering, but to endure by faith. And each new character, each new account that you see and that you're studying each week here, brings a new flavor to this chapter, brings a new flavor to show what endurance by faith looks like. In some of them, it's enduring suffering. In some of them, it's costly obedience. In some of them, it's resisting temptation. And in today's section that we see about Abraham and Sarah, faith is patient, expectant trust. Well, why is this important for us to see today? It's important because we today, like Abraham and Sarah, receive promises from God which are awaiting fulfillment, and sometimes it is hard for us to believe. We are tempted, like Abraham and Sarah were, to turn back, to stop believing, because the promises just seem like they are taking too long to come to us. And in Abraham and Sarah's example this morning, we will see that we must cling with patient faith to the unshakable promises of God, because God is faithful to his promises, and his word is our only sure foundation in this life. And to do that, I want to unpack this for us in three steps. First, I want to look at the nature of their faith. Second, I want to look at the foundation of their faith. What grounded that faith for them? And third, I want to look at the threat that came against that faith. So first, the nature of their faith. Now, before we really think about this, just to remind you, we need to understand a little bit about the characters involved. I don't want to assume that we all are on the same page about Abraham and Sarah. And so you may remember that thousands of years before Jesus, many years even before Moses and all of the prophets, God called this man called Abraham, who was a pagan, did not know God, to leave his home and journey to a new land that God would provide to him. And he promised him this land for his descendants. And he promised that his descendants would be as many as the sand of the seashore, and that through his descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. But Abraham and his wife were barren. And they were well past the age of having children. You may have noticed there in the passage that very kind remark about them that it says they were as good as dead. I hope we would never want to be described that way, but that's how this biblical author described Abraham and Sarah. They were barren and as good as dead. But God brought Abraham outside at night and promised him that his descendants would be as many as the stars of the sky. A hard promise to believe. And though this promise was given, Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years before they ever had their first child. And even when they did have their first child, they never got to see God's promises in full. They never saw the descendants as many as the stars of the sky. They never saw their people dwelling in this land. And they never saw his descendants being a blessing to all the nations of the world. So they waited so long up until they even saw the first hint of these promises being fulfilled and never saw them in totality. And that's what we need to understand about their situation now as we look at what is the nature of this faith that they had. I want you to notice with me the verbs in these verses describing the actions that demonstrated their faith. If you look in verse 8, when Abraham was called, it says he obeyed and he went. Though he didn't know where he was going, Abraham listened to the voice of God, obeyed the voice of God, and followed his command. Look at verse 9. By faith he made his home, you could say he lived, in the promised land like a stranger. So even though this land was promised to his descendants, Abraham never lived to see his descendants possess it in any meaningful way. He lived here. Just living for Abraham took faith. Look down at verse 11. This verse, I think, is really about Sarah's faith, especially though it says Abraham. I think the way it's phrased is really about Sarah. It says, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered, there's the verb here, he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Think about these verbs here that we have seen. They obeyed, they followed, they went, they lived, they listened, they considered, they thought. All these things were what they did by faith. Abraham trusted God's promises, even though he never saw most of them fulfilled in his lifetime, and even though he had to wait years to see even the beginning of their fulfillment. Sarah, even after an entire life of barrenness, and barrenness is difficult in today's age, but back then it was the greatest shame that could ever fall on a woman. Sarah, after a life of barrenness, looked not at her circumstances, but it says she considered God, who had made this promise to her, to be faithful. And these are just perfect examples. You see why the writer is bringing them in. These are perfect examples of the definition of faith that we saw and that I think you studied a few weeks ago in verses 1 and 2. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not see. That's exactly what we see here. It describes it this way in verse 13 as well. If you look at verse 13, it says, "All these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." So think about this. Even while they were still living, up until the point that they died, they were still living by faith. They didn't receive all these promises. They just saw them in front of themselves like a distance. So consider, brothers and sisters, these simple acts of faith. Nothing huge here. Just obeying, living, going, listening, considering, dying. And as we think about our situations today, we do not have the same promises made to us in Scripture that Abraham and Sarah did. We are not promised that we will have children. We are not promised that we will possess a certain land or that our descendants will bless the whole world. But we do receive promises from God in Scripture. And some of these promises are hard for us to trust. Perhaps for you today, you think of a promise like in Romans 8 where it says that God is working all things for good for those who love him. And perhaps you are suffering and you are struggling to believe that promise. Maybe you are struggling to believe the promise that says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Maybe you are struggling to believe that my sin could ever be forgiven by God. That's a promise that is hard to believe. Perhaps you are struggling and suffering and wondering, how can the promise that says that God is near to the brokenhearted be true in my life? Maybe you are just longing for Jesus' return, and you know the promise that where Jesus says that he is coming soon, and you are just struggling to believe that. Where is he coming? When is he coming? I'm not seeing it today. Well, the question that we face, just like Abraham and Sarah, is how can we hold on in the midst of our doubts? How can we obey? How can we live? How can we consider and wait with patient expectation in the same way that they did? And that leads us to our second point, which is to look at the foundation of their faith. So the question we need to find out is, what grounds our faith? What gives us the ability to cling to with patience to the promises of God? And so we must ask, well, what grounded the faith of Abraham and Sarah in this passage? Look at verse 10. I think this is where we really start to see this. In verse 10, it says, "For Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So what was grounding Abraham's faith here? It says that he was looking forward to a city with foundations, a city built by God. In other words, Abraham was realizing that his ultimate hope was not in this physical land of promise that God had promised him, but was in the one who had made the promise himself. His hope was in God himself, who would make a perfect city, not a physical land for Abraham to dwell in within tents, but a spiritual city that God would live with him. Abraham's hope was in living with God. Look again at verse 11. It says, "By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise." So the foundation of their faith was not really the promise itself. Do you see that there? The foundation of their faith is in the one who made the promise. That the one who made the promise was faithful and trustworthy. So in other words, their faith was not based on probability, like I'm as good as dead, and so maybe I'm probably not going to have a child. That would be the probability way to think, but no, their foundation, their faith was based on the character of the one who had made the promise. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. In other words, they were showing that God and his promise were their foundation, not anything in this life. They recognized that their lives were temporary in this world. You see that in verse 13. It says, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them at a distance. And listen, they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. When Christine and I first moved to the States from Canada, I was a dual citizen. She was not. And she was designated, literally, she was designated an alien. That was how the United States government called her, which is just a very pleasant term to be called. She had a temporary home in the States, but it was very shakable. I mean, at any moment, the government could have kicked her out because she was an alien. Her unshakable home was in Canada. She was a citizen there. Nothing could remove her citizenship from there. And I think this is the kind of picture that we are seeing here in Abraham and Sarah. They are recognizing that in this world, in this land that God is giving them, they are aliens. This is not their temporary home. They were looking and trusting in the promises of God for a better home as the only sure foundation of their lives. So I think it's appropriate then for us to ask here, what is the foundation of your life? Maybe you came here this morning with a friend. Maybe you are just exploring Christianity, trying to see what it's all about. What are you building your life on? What are you resting your hope in as you go through your life day by day? Is it reliable? Can it weather the storms of life? How is it holding up for you this morning? How did it hold up for you last week? See, the only one who can build a city with foundations is God. Nothing else in this life endures. Our families don't endure. Our careers don't endure. Our children don't. Our health doesn't. Our relationships, our friendships do not endure. God is the only architect, as we saw here, of sure foundations. And so for those of us who are Christians, who are struggling sometimes to cling with this kind of patient faith to God's promises, we may wonder, well, how could they be content not seeing all the promises fulfilled? Well, look there at the end of verse 13, I think gives us a clue to how Abraham and Sarah could be content. It says, they admitted that they were aliens and strangers. Think of that word there, they admitted this. They didn't try to live in two places. Their hope wasn't in this life, in their circumstances, in their family, but in their faithful, promise-keeping God. And even though their vision was partial, they were squinting at it at times, away at a distance, they greeted these promises from a distance, and they died in hope, still considering God to be faithful. And for those of you who are familiar with the story, you may be saying, well, it sounds difficult for us to do this. And think about Sarah, the first time she heard this promise, laughed in God's face. She said, how can I have a child at this age? So to be a Christian does not mean that our faith is perfect, but God still considered the trajectory of her life and of Abraham's life faithful because they did rest in these promises. Now, this is not the way that the world lives. The world lives for here and for now, for immediacy, as we talked about. Look again at verse 14. It says, people who say such things, admitting they're aliens and strangers, show that they are looking for a country of their own. So living this way, where your promises, your hope is not here, it shows something about you. It shows by your words, by your life, that you are looking for a different country, that you're looking for a better country, a country of your own, a permanent land to live and dwell and be with God forever. And so for those of us who know Jesus here this morning, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, do you speak this way? Does your life speak this way to those around you? What does it say to those around you, the way you live? Does your life show that your treasure, that your hope is in what you can see and taste and touch, which is passing away? Or does the way you live your life show that you're an alien, that you're a pilgrim here? Your alienness, I don't know if that's a word, but it is now, in this life should be evident to those around you. Others should see that our hope is not in anything here in this life, but in the unshakable promise of God. And yet this is not easy, we know this, to cling to the promises of God. And so we should turn just in the last few minutes here to our third point, which is the threat to faith. Look here at verse 15. It says, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. So we see here the old country, the country that Abraham and Sarah had come from, was calling out to them. Hey, Abraham. Hey, Sarah. Life is easier here. You don't have to trust a God who's calling you to places you don't know, who's making you wait years and years to receive a promise. Just come back here. Just come back to where you used to live. You knew everyone. You saw everything. You didn't have to live by faith. If Abraham and Sarah had given up their hope, they could have returned to the immediacy of their old life. No more tents. Maybe Abraham could have gotten a new wife and had a child. No patience required in the old land. Just get back on your camel, go back the way you came. So what kept them from giving up in doing that? We see it in verse 16. It says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. What you see here that God, what kept them from returning, from giving up their life of faith, was that God gave them new desires. You see that? They are longing for a better country. God changed their desires. More than the instant gratification of this life, of this world, they wanted God's heavenly country. They wanted to trust God. They wanted to dwell with him wherever he would call them. And notice God's response to that. This is amazing. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is pleased. God is honored by those who put their faith in him. This is why it says back, even all the way back in Genesis, we read that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. God is honored by those who put their hope in him. And it says that God is not ashamed of them because that is the way that they are living. He says, these are my people. They're putting their hope in me, not in this life. They're putting their hope in me. And so I will prepare a city to dwell with them. Well, we've talked here often about the city, and the question I think that probably is on some of our minds is, what is the city? I mean, what is he talking about here, the city that God is preparing for them? You might think back to John 14, where Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going away and I will prepare a place for you, that there's many mansions in my Father's house. That's one of the places where we would see this imagery of a city that God is preparing to dwell. Or if you think about the very end of the Bible in Revelation 21 and 22, it talks about this new heavens, this new earth, where those who know Jesus will live forever, and it talks about a city that's coming down. I think the significance of this city language is that we were created to live with God. If you remember, Adam and Eve, when they were first created, lived with God in a garden. But when they sinned and rebelled, God cast them out of the garden. No longer could they live with God. No longer could they dwell with him. And the whole storyline of the Bible is about, how can man come back to living with God once again? How can God reconcile us? And this is why Jesus was sent. Jesus came into the world, died in our place, so that he could restore us back to live with God. And this is why all throughout the book of Hebrews, the author speaks of how through Jesus we now have access to God again. We now can live with him again because he has restored us. And those who put their faith in Jesus, not in themselves, not in this world, but in Jesus, will one day live with God again in a perfect city. And so let me ask you here this morning, are you trusting in Jesus? What is the foundation and hope of your life? Are you comfortable living in the old land? Too comfortable living here in the land of immediacy to entrust your life to God? See, the reality is that not everybody will live in God's city one day. Look back at verse 16. It says, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you see those words? They, their, them. There's only a certain number, a certain group of people who will one day live with God in this city. It's not for everyone. It is only for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus who will live with God again in his city. And if you are trusting in Jesus today, then my encouragement to you from this passage is, no matter what is going on in your life, take comfort. Your God is preparing for you a perfect city. And the best thing about the city is that you will dwell there with God himself. God himself is the treasure of that city. Your longing to be with him right now, your struggling in this life, is one of the evidences that you know him and that you are known by him. He's not ashamed to be called your God. Much more than Abraham and Sarah did back when they were longing for these promises, how much more, brothers and sisters, should we have more confidence in our faith in the promises of God? Because all the promises made to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to all the prophets about Jesus have now been fulfilled in Christ, in whom all God's promises are yes and amen. We have seen the faithfulness of God in all his promises that he made in the Old Testament. So how much more than Abraham and Sarah should we have confidence that God will be true and faithful to all of the promises he has made to us? Remember that Paul reminds us in Romans 8, he says, if God did not spare his son, who he had promised, how will he not freely with him give us all things? So in conclusion, we have seen this morning that Abraham and Sarah's faith was characterized by patient, expectant trust. And we have seen that the foundation of that trust was in the faithful God himself, who has fulfilled all his promises now for us in Jesus and is preparing a place for us to live with him forever. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, you must cling with patient faith to the unshakable promises of God. And you must encourage each other in this, all the more as we see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is true and faithful to all of his promises. And I pray for each of my brothers and sisters and for myself this morning that you would give us this kind of patient faith to wait and trust and hope. And Lord, we pray that you would come soon and fulfill all of these promises to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.